Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. The Titans hiring Brian Callahan to be their next head coach, the sixth head coach in the Tennessee Titans history, 20th overall in franchise history, dating back to the Oilers. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome into our friend Paul Daner from The Athletic, who covers the Cincinnati Bengals. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How's it going?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking some time to be with us this morning. So, Paul, from your experience being around Brian Callahan, what have been your observations of the type of coach that he is, and what do you make of this hire by the Tennessee Titans?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of aspects here. The first one is the most obvious, is that, like, we know what this league is. It's can you develop quarterbacks? Do you understand quarterbacks? Do you understand quarterbacks' roles on the team and how to manage one when you have a great one? And Brian Callahan has had a front row seat and done that his entire career now. I mean, it started as he was working alongside Peyton Manning in Denver for 5 years and seeing him and his operation and building trust with Peyton Manning. You know how hard it is to build trust with Peyton Manning when you're some GA on the staff, but managed to do that there to the point that he got invited when Peyton Manning, is going to the Hall of Fame, I mean, and that's the type of personality and chemistry he's able to build with people. Then Stafford, same thing, and Burrow. It's easy to say, it's something I think a lot of people think maybe held him and this entire offensive staff back as far as getting promotions, was people look at the Bengals and say, yeah, Burrow did all that, right? And that's totally fair. I mean, apparently he does kind of walk on water in Cincinnati a little bit, but the bottom line is you have to know what to do when you have that guy and how to help that guy become more of that guy. And this staff knew perfectly how to do that with Burrow, because Brian Callahan knew how to help take his game to the next level and also let him feel like he is the guy and take ownership over the entire team, because he saw Peyton Manning do it. And that credibility really stood with people. But, the extra aspect of it is beyond the quarterback stuff and being around football his whole life. That's always struck me about him. He has a really, really great feel for culture and how to build in the modern NFL. And that's something the Bengals did really well here, in understanding how to create relationships with players, how to find the types of players that build great cultures and things like that. The Bengals, I mean, to turn around a place that was as rock bottom as this franchise, like they did, they knew that was the only way to do it, and they'd seen it work in other places. And their ability to pinpoint the types of people and put those people in position of leadership and understand how that can grow and what that specifically needs to look like, to me, was what always set him apart. And most people didn't see that or really understand that, because they see quarterback guy, knows how to, work an offense and coordinate and all that stuff. That's great. But I always thought that set him apart to me as a head coach track, because that was apparent as Zach Taylor's right-hand man with every decision, not just offensive decision, every decision throughout this entire sort of Bengals rebuild all the way back to 2019.
We're having trouble hearing Joe. We'll get Joe back online here in just a second. So how much do you think, Paul, what the Bengals were able to do with Jake Browning this year, how much did that elevate Brian Callahan in your mind?
Yeah, not in my mind, but I totally understand the outside mind of watching everything when Burrow does stuff, and you're like, wow, I mean, that's just Burrow's making this thing cook. And I understand that. And I feel like that definitely was used against this staff a little bit when in evaluating them. And I think to an outside perspective, it was impossible to miss that they stayed relevant. They took this undrafted Jake Browning guy that they'd sort of been developing in the background and found a way to construct an offense that could make him work, to the point that he was one of the most efficient passers in football, even with a couple of struggling early games against the Steelers down the stretch. I mean, it was almost insane. But it was because they did a really good job of quickly evolving on the fly to find ways to make it all work with the skill set that they had. And that's something that they've done, you know, over the course of his time here. They've been really nuanced and effective in how they evolve as the season goes. I mean, the year that, you know, I guess last year, 2022 season, they ended up winning 10 games in a row before losing to the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game at the conclusion of the season. It was sparked by a decision on offense to really change the way they were doing their running game, to ditch the outside zone and go to more of the shotgun run downhill power gap scheme. And once they did that, understanding the types of – they had a bunch of new offensive linemen. They understood what that was and finally started to learn what they looked like after that first month. And next thing you know, that changed, and they just took off. And it was – they've done that multiple times where they've not been afraid to say, hey, we're not in this box. We're not – they showed up as Zach Taylor, Rams, wide zone, Todd Gurley, right? And they are 180 degrees from that now. And they've never been afraid to move from year to year, from season to season, to find what scheme fits, because Brian Callahan has been in a number of them with a number of different types of quarterbacks, and that fits to why he's good for a place that's trying to find itself offensively, is that he knows a bunch of different buttons that you can press and has a history of pressing them effectively.
Okay. Does my microphone work? Is it working? All right,
here we go. I hear you.
All right. Now that I've figured out my microphone. All right. I got three. I got three for you, Paul. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, do you take this hire and Brian Callahan accepting this job as confirmation he believes in Will Levis? Do you think personnel final say matters to him? And do you think T. Higgins is a Tennessee Titan in the future?
I'll start with the last three for one. You. No, okay. T. Higgins is not a Tennessee Titan. T. Higgins is going to be a franchise tag Cincinnati Bengal.
There you go.
And so that's what's going to happen there. Maybe next year, if we'll see where it goes from there. But personnel decisions, I would think so. One thing that Cincinnati is very different than most places, and they've had a lot of success with, because they have a small scouting staff in the league, and the coaches are very involved in that process already, and they have a very prominent voice. They're not the final, obviously, decision in the room, but it's a very prominent voice, and they're in on all of that stuff to work together, because the synergy you need between, okay, here, you can't just take a player, say, this guy's good, you make him work. It's got to be everybody kind of on the same board of understanding what type of guy works, the type of guy I'm looking for, and learning to put those two together and work together and pinpointing who those guys are and sort of build everybody rowing the same way. I feel like the success that happened here with that, that he would want to have that kind of be the feel of the organization. But again, we've never seen him in that chair for sure. He's seen it done different ways, but I would think that you would want some kind of a say in personnel matters, not final decision, but certainly you'd assume pretty significant. And Will Levis, I don't think so. That this means anything that, he was going to save himself for, some great quarterback. I think you go somewhere and I think you can, maybe he believes in Will Levis and can see how he can get Will Levis there. But inevitably you're taking a job because you believe you can do it. And you don't know when another one's going to come by. And if you like everything else about the place, you can find a quarterback if Will Levis doesn't work out, or maybe you just see Will Levis and say, this is a guy, I'm going to make it work. I don't think it means anything either way in regards to the quarterback, other than he clearly sees this as a possibility to develop him for now.
Paul, last thing for you here. As you look at at Brian Callahan and his role in Cincinnati. Kind of take us behind the curtain a little bit. A lot of Titans fans that we've heard from today really like the hire. The one, I guess, drawback they have or hang up they have is he wasn't the one calling play. So kind of explain to us what that process was like in Cincinnati and how involved Brian Callahan was in the offensive operation on game day.
Well, you know, you can never say you're in an NFL town if the play caller hasn't been threatened to be fired midway through game one of any season, right?
Like, that is true.
I always laugh. The Bengals have been quite literally coming off the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship game, and in the first 3 weeks, you'll see a few people being like, oh, they got to fire everybody. And it's like, I feel like there has to be a time where we're not allowed to do that. So there's been a lot of conversation about how plays are called, Zach Taylor calling the plays and how that works. And so we've gotten a pretty in-depth look, an explanation about the process. And it's a very, yes, Zach Taylor's the play caller, but it's very collaborative in that, you know, they sort of build what they want to focus on, what it looks like, and are constantly sort of talking before each series, in between series, and lining up plays, and let's make sure we get to that, and let's play this, and get to the, and it's sort of set together even on the fly in the build during the week, and then also as they go with, you know, different people with a different emphasis on early downs or run game stuff or third downs. And so the conversations are sort of flowing. So, yes, Zach Taylor has the sheet. He's saying it into the microphone. That's all part of it. And Brian Callahan has called plays in preseason games and things like that, too, to just to switch up the way it goes. But it's been sort of told to us as very much more of a collaborative effort, much more than you would think. And Zach kind of said it's far more than in any place he's ever been in this league. More of a collaborative effort, and they've really liked it that way because they feel like they have a staff of really good communicators. And so that's sort of the background of how that operated here, where sure, one guy has the sheet, but it has kind of been more about them working together on it over the course of the week and then in between series and during series even.
Well, Paul, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today. It's been great to get your perspective on this. Appreciate you helping us out, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Absolutely. Good luck.
Absolutely. Paul Dana from The Athletic, our guest on Robbie and Rexo. We'll take your reaction to the hiring of Brian Callahan, your reaction to what Paul Dana had to say there, kind of peeling back the curtain of the way things went in Cincinnati. All that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.